welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Hello, Jennifer. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine.
You know, a couple of weeks ago, there was a conference, apparently the most well-liked political party in the country, all got together. Everybody assured everybody of a few things, and everyone came out and said, no, we've assured each other of a few things. It's all sweet. And then it turns out it's not all sweet. And the leader of that party's left. Bill English has resigned. Simon English has resigned. And it leaves a quandary like the National Party hasn't had to deal with for quite a while.
Yeah, they've not been used to this. So it'll be really interesting to see how it plays out. And it turns out that Bill English said that he had decided that he would resign at Christmas. So they kind of went into this Lovin and Tauranga Bill English knowing that he was going to resign. It's just that he took an extra couple of weeks.
It's the line that I hate, you know?
Well, it followed an $11 billion one, so they were starting to get used to it, really, I suppose. Well, you know, Simon Wilson wrote a really nice political obituary, I think, in the, I can't remember which paper, about, you know, Bill English being a really very good leader in a whole range of ways and had been seen to be the good guy, right, and a decent politician until Stephen Joyce called out that $11 billion black hole and the fact that English sat there and took it and endorsed that claim.
Right down the barrel.
Right, you know, didn't resile from the fact, didn't blink. And from Wilson's perspective, and I think it's a really interesting take, at that point he sort of lost some of what was his really amazing political capital. I mean, he might have kind of lost some of it with the Todd Barclay affair as well, but really this one really showed that maybe he wasn't that much different to the kind of general way we sometimes see politicians.
Yeah, and of course you've got to remember he was John Key's right-hand man, and now that John Key's not there, there's a few skeletons coming out of the closet as well.
Yeah.
Of decisions that were made sort of during his tenure.
Yeah, that's right. And I suppose he didn't really have a lot of time to make the prime ministership his own before he went into opposition. So he did sort of end up, while being in opposition, representing something historical. And it makes sense for a party that's probably looking, despite what they claim, unlike, you know, it's very rare to see one-term governments in New Zealand politics. So they are looking to 2023. And I suppose what a lot of people and pundits are asking is whether or not the person that gets selected in 2 weeks for National will just be a placeholder until they can really work out, like do the grunt work of opposition and then give it to somebody who can really win a campaign, has enough likability to get them over the line in 2023.
It wasn't that long ago when they seemed like an impregnable juggernaut, that party, you know, like just, you know, sort of prior to Labour's sort of reboot, or the third or fourth reboot they did, eventually, wasn't it? But, you know, it seemed like National was just going to steamroller over everybody in that election, and they were rock solid. Now when they lose their leader, you sort of go, where did all the rock solid come from? Because we've only got them. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and I think this is the power of having of being a government, because they love it, but also of having a leader who has massive amounts of personal popularity, right, which Key did. And so what that enables the party to do is to suppress any kind of ambitions or aspirations on the parts of the wannabes who had imagined when they went into politics that they too might one day be a leader. And if you end up working under somebody who's incredibly successful and unlikely to go, you don't rock the boat. But, of course, once he went, it was all up for grabs, and you can see there's still, you know, even though there's three candidates, there's still like three others going, should I, is this my chance? So it's almost like they were always there being ambitious, it's just this, they haven't had their window.
So the people running are who at the moment, as far as we know, the people running are whom?
Simon Bridges.
Yeah. Simon the drummer Bridges.
Yeah, and people talk about his accent a lot. I actually have to say I haven't heard him speak a lot, so I haven't yet watched any YouTube clips to know what they're talking about on that.
I think you'll find it quite patronising.
Is it? And it's also the way he says some words and that he talks about himself in the third person, which apparently some other political leader does as well, which you wouldn't really want to be associated with. And then there's Amy Adams and Judith Collins.
Judith, I have yet to categorically come out and say it wasn't me that dug up the swamp curry that cut their fuel line, Collins.
Yeah, but I mean, Judith Collins came and talked to our, very kindly came and talked to our first year New Zealand politics class a couple of years back. And to be fair, she's not shy about fronting the media and saying what she thinks. And she openly said that for her, you know, pragmatism in politics is really important, that they just we just take for granted that that we should just take for granted that National is a pro-market, you know, free market, you know, individual achievement type party. And then after that, that's it sort of for the principles. And if Labour, you know, has a really good idea and it works, then what National would be stupid if the voters liked it to change it. And so you do wonder if that's why she's saying, well, maybe the tax cuts aren't a good idea. And she recognises the importance of, you know, of being in the media, like, all of the time, and she's really comfortable with that. And, you know, that could work against her, but it also could work for her.
What's the sell on Amy Adams?
Like, she's a real thinker, and she's really, really smart, and she was given the GCSB work to do as a minister, which obviously had a lot of protests around it, but it was also really complicated legislation.
And mucky stuff going on at the time as well.
Yeah, and she just kind of, like, whenever she got interviewed, she would just, like, be really calm and just sort of say what the facts were. She didn't kind of get involved with all the kind of emotion and other things around it. She just said what the bill said, and so she's, you know, the one that might come through the middle of two very explicitly ambitious, and then but the question really is then, does she have sufficient, it's the likability. You've got to be competent, but you also have to be likable, and you've got to be appealing to a broader electorate to become PM. It's not the same as just being a party leader.
You've got to be a little bit of a superhero, eh?
Yeah, some kind of charisma sort of, and especially I would say maybe, I mean, to be fair, the Nats have a really large core voter. You know, they're sitting on 44%. We know only 16% of National voters split their vote, right? That's really hardly any. So there's not a lot, you know, if they do the right thing, they're going to sit on 42, which is probably why Collins has said my litmus test is 35% of the party support drops below that, I'll be gone as a leader. Well, the chances of it doing that, you know, based on what support they have now is pretty slim. They just have to do a good job and then win back or create some minor parties that are prepared to work with them.
The how big is the pool of voters for National? Yesterday I was sort of saying that I think Judith Collins would have the edge with the old school, you know, a foundation sort of legacy National voters. You know, the ones who are that you but you Sir Bob Jones and down sort of thing. You know,
yeah.
Like, Are they like Bridges? Has Bridges done all the groundwork for that?
Well, Bridges is...
Or are there not that many of them, even?
Well, I think there are, but I think...
less and less each day, though.
They're sort of regionally based, too, you know, so I think Bridges will appeal to the Bay of Plenty version of those. You know, he's got really good standing in Tauranga, and they really love him in that part of the world, if you're already a National voter, let's say. Collins really gets Auckland, and Amy Adams really gets the rural sector. So in a way, they speak to quite different segments of the National Party, and I suppose that's what the caucus will be weighing up, and also thinking about who can be the respective winner's deputy, and it might not be Paula Bennett, even though she's put her hand up to stay deputy, because they're going to have to think about how to use that role to complement whoever wins the leadership.
Sure. Is there any chance from now onwards that someone else might step up? Put their hat in the ring? That's it?
Well, I think Jonathan Coleman really wanted it, but I think he will have done the math and found that it's unlikely he'll have support. Stephen Joyce is still saying that that people are asking him to stand. So
see, I think that it was my prediction years ago that he'd be the one after John Key.
Yeah, next. You and Mike Hosking.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose I've always seen him as the person who likes to control.
He's a Machiavellian, sort of, isn't he?
Yeah, he controls the party, campaigns with an iron fist or whatever the metaphor is. He's just like this really amazing machine man. And then when he was in government, he was this guy who was like his super portfolio guy. He had like all the really big work to do. Whether he could, you know, he's a bit growly on the telly. I mean, he's a nice guy.
He's getting
guy,
sex toys thrown in his face. You got to, you know.
That would just be everywhere. Wouldn't
that would sit in your head for a while. Jennifer, thank you very much. That's a wonderful insight there, and I'm fascinated to see what goes on with this. I mean, it's all held together just with twine and sellotape at the moment for them, isn't it?
I know, and it must be really relieving for Jacinda Ardern to be able to have a wee rest.
are they sneaking something dodgy through? Is that what you're saying?
Just put their feet up and let them play it out on the front pages of the newspaper for a couple of weeks.
Thank you, Jennifer.
No worries. See
you again soon. Bye-bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.